Hello and welcome to the UK Consult, our occasional ramble through all things to do with community engagement, customer experience, and digital service design. And today we have a special guest, don't we, Karen?
We do. All the way from the US, we are delighted to welcome our Chief Executive, Mark Hines.
Hello, Karen and Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
So, Mark, I was wondering if you could kick off by telling our listeners a little bit about how long you've been with Gradacus, what motivates you, and what it is you enjoy about your job.
My name is Mark Hines. I'm Chief Executive Officer for Gradacus. I have been with the company for now over 7 years. And for everyone that will listen to me, I do tell them it's the best job on the planet. I have the greatest time every day, both with our customers and with the employees of Gradacus, because we're largely unified around the same mission, which is wonderful. And it's how to use technology in some of the greatest purposes of all time, right? Is how to create social good with tech. So how to use modern technologies in a way that lift our communities and lift our people and lift the world. So it's hard to imagine being the CEO of another company that, you know, has a bigger and broader mission than that.
Oh, that's really lovely to hear. We're really lucky to work with you. And it's fantastic. We're all following the same mission. You touched already on the social good aspect, and something we talk about a lot, or that our clients talk a lot about, is how do I do this? How do I make things better? How do I hold a better meeting? And something I think maybe we don't talk about enough is the why we do that.
It's really the most important question, I think, not just in the public sector, but a lot of technologists start with the how instead of the why. But starting with the why is probably the most important place to start. So what are we trying to accomplish? Why are we trying to accomplish it? In our view, of course, in the public sector, the mission is relatively clear, right? I mean, we have government. I like to say that government is a service provider. In essence, they need to think of themselves as a service provider. And once you think of yourself as a service provider, then you need to answer the question, well, why, right? Not just the how do we deliver services, but why are we delivering those services? And when you actually ask that question of why, like what social good am I trying to create? What am I trying to do with my communities? Then you can say the how. It's really hard to deliver the how if you don't know the why, right? So asking the whys is some of the most important things. The second question, actually, I think is important is the who. People don't actually ask the who very much as well. And it's one of the things that we're trying to communicate to the public sector as well, is the how is only effective to the why and the who. And the who is very different, right? So our view is that the government providers have an incredibly diverse audience, right? A diverse set of communities, a diverse set of people that they need to serve. And thinking of them as one unit, as, you know, oh, they are my constituents or they are my residents, actually does a disservice for what they do, right? So it's actually the who and the diversity of the who that's important. Because once you get the who plus the why, then the how becomes relatively obvious.
I'm really glad you picked up on that. That's something which was missing from my part of the conversation as well. What is Gradacus doing about the who?
You know, it's been an evolution, I think, for us as a company. Because for a long time, we were actually trying to solve the how question, right? So the customers, our customers would largely come to us and say, hey, look, we need help with the how. And for, you know, over 15 years, the company has largely solved the technology part of the how. Like, okay, you know, how do I deliver better meeting, right? And how do I communicate more effectively? And how do I create a better website, right? So the how, the tech has largely been the center of discussion. And what we have found over that period of time is over the last 15 years, governments have got pretty good at procuring the how, right? And I think what we're hearing now is I've got a lot of the how bits, right? I've got a lot of the technology components, and now I'm trying to actually solve problems that, you know, I'm trying to solve challenges, I'm trying to identify the opportunities of the why and who, right? And so, you know, shifting the conversation from the how to the, all right, now let's talk about outcomes. Let's talk about your audience. Let's talk about how they feel and what their perceptions are about the government experience and government services. Are they getting what they need from their government providers? Are they able to communicate in ways that make them feel heard, right? So the whole shift away from how is something that our customers have drawn us to. Because candidly, over the last 3 or 4 years, they've said, we've got enough of the how. We've got really a lot of technology. Let's figure out how to use it more effectively to deliver against our mission, which is to create community good, right? So the entire conversation has largely shifted and we're helping lead our customers.
Is this what we heard you talk about before? when you coined the phrase doing things the right side up?
Right side up. That's the entirety of it. Is largely our view is that government has started, and a lot of technology buyers start with the tech, right? So they just say, largely the public sector, particularly global, has said, look, the reason I'm buying tech is to solve an internal problem, right? So they largely said, okay, I want to, you know, provide a better technology for taxes or managing the internals of government administration in an automated way, as an example, around specific services. And so the focus there has actually created, you know, a lot of problems on the front end, right? So, you know, when you're solving the internal problem first, the idea is you hope and pray, as we say, that it actually, when it comes together, makes sense for the constituent, those that are using the service, and it rarely does. So the whole idea of turning it right side up is to say, hey, look, let's take the focus from the internal administration of this service to how it's actually delivered to the end user, to the resident. And so flip it from their perspective. And it's like, okay, how do they see the whole of government? How do they see the collection of services? Is it delivering the things to the constituent?
It reminds me of something one of our BDRs said to me the other day. They were talking about why people would want to buy Granica Solutions. And they were talking about buying a home and that you don't go out to buy a mortgage. You get a mortgage to buy a house, to make a home. So it's these component parts behind the scenes that lead to the outcomes you want, which is the experience our customers want their citizens to have of seamless transactions, of being able to live better lives, make better decisions for themselves, get the support they need. Also, a byproduct along the way is that the authority can save themselves money, which I think is such a big challenge in the UK, the budgetary restraints. I think it's sometimes missed in the conversation about the why, which is that in buying that technology, we also intend to save money so that you can do more social good with the money you've saved.
I super love that analogy because it really does kind of speak to our message. Look, if you were to walk into a house, right, and you see exposed plumbing and you see the woodwork and you see the electrical, right, you see all the components, it doesn't really feel like a home, right? The home is how it makes you feel as opposed to seeing all the pieces underneath. That's how we think about technology, right? The best technology is the technology you don't see, right? It's the thing it delivers, right? So you would love the technology experience, the overall government experience to feel more like a home than the piece parts, right? Today, it feels like the piece parts. You're like, oh, wow, that's exposed wiring. And it's like, I see that, and it's not the greatest experience. What you really wanted to do is fade completely into the background and have someone say, oh, I got what I needed from my government. I feel heard from my government, right? Just all of the things come together in a way that delivers the experience that I need to do what I need to do.
So how do you think our customers can see Granica's developing in the coming years with regards to how they make the most of our solutions?
So it's all about what you described. It's this evolution from, okay, we're just a technology provider. Many of our customers think of us as, you know, one of the best SaaS cloud kind of technology providers. What we're moving to is being more of a strategic partner around experience. Right. And it goes to this point that says, okay, great. We've adopted technology over the last decade. Now let's do a candid analysis. Is that technology delivering the things that we want in our community? Is it uplifting the community? Is it delivering healthy and happy lives? Right. Ultimately. And so what we're doing is putting more support around how do you use and get the most of the technology to deliver against the mission. And that means two primary components for us that we've kind of invested in. One of them is services practitioners. So those that have a wealth of experiences globally of creating kind of digital experiences in the public sector that deliver the outcomes that impact our customers want, right? So we think the expertise, you know, born from thousands and thousands of these engagements around the planet, getting really the entirety of the experience from around the world and the customers around the world, and be able to take those best practices, those capabilities, and really zero in on the specifics of any one government or agency. Number one is assembling the best public sector experienced practitioners in the world. Goal two is around data. You know, to create experiences, you really have to understand how to measure the outcome and the impact. That's one of the evolutions, I think, that we're bringing, hopefully, to this market is, you know, historically, our government agency customers has bought technologies one by one. You know, the how question, right? They've largely went and, you know, solved the how question one at a time, right? We had another person at Granicus who's worked in the public sector directly for a very long time. She coined the fire extinguisher analogy, which means that largely public sector technology procurement over the last 10 years has been, I have a fire. I need to go buy this specific fire extinguisher to put out that specific fire. And over a decade, you now have a collection of fire extinguishers rather than something that feels more like the home that you described, right? And so I'd say the first 7 years that I've been here, largely the emphasis has been, okay, let's stop buying fire extinguishers. Let's not sell fire extinguishers. Let's sell the home. Let's sell the technology that can be put together to create kind of more wholesome, you know, unified experiences, both for those internal to government as well as their constituents. So largely phase one of Granicus, as I call it, has been largely around putting the right tech pieces together, right? So it's coming to, you know, the council, it's coming to central government agencies, et cetera, saying, look, you don't have to buy your fire extinguishers anymore. But we have done as a vendor, you know, 100% dedicated to government and public sector, is we have both acquired businesses and technologies and grown technologies internally to provide the tech capabilities that you need well integrated together. Now, job two, to your point, is, all right, now, how do we use that most effectively to drive outcome and impacts? And now that we've stopped buying and selling fire extinguishers and we have a platform that we can rely on, how do we apply best practices from around the world in the form of practitioners to deliver great experience? And then the third leg, as we talked about, is the data, right? And so when you buy fire extinguishers, all you're doing is, you know, hearing the smoke alarm go off, right? That's not really valuable data. And so job one for us was when we put the technology together is to uplift, if you will, the data capabilities across the platform. The idea is, as president, your experiences aren't limited to any one technology, right? When you want to accomplish something with your government, you're largely touching multiple technologies for that process. The constraint, you know, historically has been you're only getting data and reporting at individual siloed systems. So you're not understanding, you don't have visibility. Our job, one, was to connect that. Job two was to apply the practitioners. Job three was actually to get all the data out of the system so that you can look and interrogate the data and ask questions of the data that are consistent with the full set of experiences that people have. So you start asking really valuable questions like, how do my constituents view this particular transaction? How do they feel about this experience? What feedback am I getting about these experiences? How do specific audiences and personas in my community, you know, experience it differently than others, right? Only when you put that data together, you ask the questions that are important to delivering the outcome.
What kind of experience do you think this will create for the customer, for the citizen, if you like? We've heard you switch the talk track more towards their perspective. I can imagine going into my local council's website and it's saying, hey, Jonathan, how are you doing? This is what you got up to last time you were here. Here are some other things that might be important to you now. What would you like to do next? Is this something that we are close to?
I think we are on the verge of something very big in public sector. The longest time you walk onto the website, you know, you incur a transaction, it's dealt only in that transaction. Again, the purpose of the tech wasn't to understand your job, right? It wasn't to say, how do I create better experience? How do I help him in this phase of his life, right? The government, again, is the service provider in my analogy. They always, you know, look to understand where you are in your life cycle and what services and what capabilities, what other things the government can provide you. Right? That's their job. But if you don't have data, if I don't understand who Jonathan, who my constituents are individually and as personas, it makes it really hard to propose and recommend services or even deliver personalized services in a way that are meaningful. So yes, I think we're on the verge of something pretty significant where we're going from this anonymity is just transaction state and moving towards the whole of government served to individuals. And to do that effectively, it comes down to how you think about data, right? So in our view at Granicus, we've completely turned upside right our own data structures. And so what we've done is we created a data structure that puts citizens in the residents. And then all of the transactions across varieties of technologies and various services and all those things can assemble a set of data that are meaningful so that the agency can get intelligent about what they think you might, right? And when you might need it and how you might need it, what the best ways to communicate you are to, you know, help you with the adoption, create awareness, create understanding. That's a very new set of activities.
I think our customers would be excited by that. when we talk to them, it's absolutely the utopia they want to work towards. But they're also really fearful. In the UK, Europe, we have GDPR. In the US, you have similar laws. What's Granicus's stance on this data? How do we approach it?
So I'd say the word is cautiously first and foremost, right? Because certainly the benefit of Granicus being only in the public sector means we don't have multiple masters, right? We know kind of the public sector need, and privacy is kind of front and center of everything we do as a result. So GDPR and all of the relevant privacy laws across the world. And what it means for us is, as we think about data being an important element of understanding picture, is it means giving the rights of that data to the individual, ultimately, right? I think that's the ultimate goal of privacy, is to say, okay, here is the data set that you as the individual have control over. So whether you want no visibility to your data, we should be able to action that. Whether you want a certain amount of data and certain kinds of data to be available to your government because it's going to better serve you, you should have access, visibility, and then restrictions on it. Ultimately, we put that at the center, is the whole thing around privacy is about giving the control to the user and the resident to decide what data is visible and not visible. And so that kind of underpins all the things that we are building around.
So that's really important to Granicus, respecting people's right to opt in, to opt out, to explicitly agree to the data that they share. And with new tech like AI, we want to carry on being respectful and cautious, right?
Yeah, so AI is obviously an interesting horizon because some are rushing in and just, you know, be less than cautious, right? And, you know, excited about all of the opportunity AI brings. And I think the Granicus approach, certainly, and I think a lot of our customers, is we understand and we appreciate the level of opportunity, but we also appreciate the responsibility that comes with it. You know, folks are leaning heavier into the responsibility side of that equation. So I think the Granicus role, as technologists understand what the capabilities are around AI and the way that you can use AI in a responsible and ethical way that meets the needs of our government, is to bring understanding, like, okay, we know what the promise of AI, we know what the use case of AI. We've done a lot of work with our customers to understand how it can be applied for social good and impact. And then here are the ways that we think that you can use it in a responsible and ethical way. Basically, invite our customers into a conversation so that we can kind of together decide, you know, where and how and when, with what precautions we adopt.
Our listeners will be really pleased to hear about our approach and also how we're involving our customers now in shaping our thinking via things like our customer advisory boards.
And what we're happy to see is that a lot of the AI providers do offer the ability to be more cautionary in how to adopt AI. As an example, you know, Granicus has access to a lot of data with our customers, and there are ways to build private, basically, AI, right, so that you're not mixing data with public data, that you're not pulling public data in, and, you know, certainly not selling data out, right? And so there are ways to create public sector, very private, very specific instances that allow us to kind of build a walled garden, you know, for our customers. And so we'll start there, right? We'll build very high walls and we'll use the data that's only, you know, kind of subject to Granicus and our customers in a way that doesn't get looted, if you will, or have any risk of interference from kind of the broader data sets. But the last thing you want, of course, is any private or, you know, sensitive data to go outside the wall. The second value that provides is public sector experience data is unique, right? It's unique from, you know, whether you're an e-commerce provider or whatever it happens to be, right? So the idea of us using AI in powerful ways to create better experiences and outcome and impact is very different from a public sector service delivery organization than on commercial. And so our view is we actually don't want the commercial data, right? Because in our view, you know, isn't the right data set to train on that understand what experiences look like in the public sector. And the beauty is that we think public sector is more alike, you know, across the globe. So like in the United States, those public sector experiences are relatively similar, but they're dissimilar between what you described, like my e-commerce experience. I don't want anything to look like my public sector. So we think collecting public sector anonymized data from customers and from Granicus and using that as our data training set. These are just public sector experience. This is what we observe happening to in communities, in specific audience groups and personas, how they perceive their government, you know, what feedback they're getting, what the experience looks like to them in the public sector, far more valuable than using kind of other experience data outside. The beauty is we get all of this good data that we can anonymize, and we can use that observation training set to really help our customers get insights about how to deliver impact in ways that they wouldn't be able to.
A lot of our customers talk about prevention and being proactive and waiting for people to reach crisis before making contact or asking for help or support. What benefits can big data and AI bring here specifically?
Huge. There's two primary applications of AI that we ultimately see, one of which is what you described, which is kind of insight, right? So again, we talk about, you know, moving very rapidly from a point where we were just getting, you know, kind of reporting out of one system. Oh, I can see how my tax returns act, but only getting insight on one very, you know, narrow thread of experience. Now we're putting that tag together and you're getting kind of visibility across the full set of digital experience. Now you add AI on top and it gets to the point we call that insight AI. So it's detecting patterns that, you know, you can't just get out of a report. And it really will lead to the power that you described. I always say that governments are the most sophisticated service providers on the planet, right? Everybody says Amazon's the most sophisticated. They're not, right? Like, largely ship boxes to warehouses that show up on somebody's doorstep, right? It's largely, you know, one set of muscles. Government has, they have to serve everyone by design, everyone in their community. They don't get the cherry pick. They don't get specific audiences that they could pick. Like, government has thousands and tens of thousands or more of services, and they provide them to everyone. And so the services that apply to one won't apply to another. We talked about life cycle. There are different parts of the community. There are underserved parts of the community. There are other parts of the community that have different services that will be available to them. And then how do you communicate the way? How do you know if they're getting adopted? How do you know whether the experience is actually delivering the outcomes and the social impact you want? Amazon doesn't have to ask any of those questions. So it's like, you can't run a report to say, what are my social impacts? AI will be able to say, okay, this is what we're observing from tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of data points to help you say, here's where we think you can optimize the process. Maybe it's create a better experience. Here's where people are dropping off in the application process. Here's where you're failing in the communication with this specific audience because they're clearly not understanding the level, the services that you're delivering or how you're delivering them. Like, AI has the ability ultimately to answer a really rich set of questions that, you know, flat reporting.
So you mentioned there were two primary applications for AI. What was the other one?
Right. The first being the insights, the AI-driven insights. Second, they call generative AI. A lot of the tools that we have today at our disposal in the Granicus portfolio are in many parts publishing, you know, email publishing, SMS publishing, web publishing, survey publishing. And largely our systems is to allow our government providers to both push and get feedback. Well, when you think about quantity of content that governments are providing to their constituents, AI, and particularly generative AI, has the ability to help that content generation be more efficient and more effective, right? Because, again, as we talked about this data set where we're getting, you know, literally billions of digital interactions that are getting stored and analyzed by our platform, we can help our government communicators and our content publishers be more effective. So now all of a sudden you can ask the question as a communicator, please help me phrase this email communication, or can you help me with my web content to serve this particular audience that's looking for this outcome and this impact, and have generative AI support you and looking across all of the data points globally that says, oh yeah, we've seen content that is, you know, looking to provide information about COVID vaccine, and they can help you craft all the kinds of content that are necessary to support your objective around vaccination as an example, or what email gets the best engagement from this particular audience. You know, what parts of the digital process, right, deliver the most application?
And that helps as well. We talked before about councils owning their own narrative and being able to put messages out. Have people listen to the message that the authority wants to put out about them rather than it being filtered through the lens of traditional media. So that's a really big leap to what's going to work best and resonate best with their audience.
You and I have talked about this before, is we're encouraging our public sector customers to talk more, right? To use their channels to deliver the message that they want, right? As opposed to have that narrative created for them. Part of our job, right, at Rannick is to help think about, okay, what is the message you want to deliver? What are the outcomes you want to create? Let us help you think through what is the messages and what channels and what way to what audience that are going to deliver the outcome and impact.
As an ex-newspaper journalist, ex-local government council comms person, there's this idea of putting information out, but also that it's really important to be listening to what people are saying about your organization. People are going to be having that conversation about you, whether you're part of it or not. So why not help to direct it?
Mark, whilst we have you with us in the UK, one reason you like coming over here, a message that you take around the world with you, is that we are way ahead in terms of our digital maturity. Can you explain this point of view a bit more?
Yeah, indeed. The UK, for the most part, is a decade, you know, ahead of many other countries. You know, I think the way we understand history is during austerity, largely in 2010, in that era, government really decided that they want to be more efficient and more effective in delivering their services. So there was significant purposeful investment, you know, largely because it saves the government money. The wonderful and perhaps secondary benefit is that the consumer, the customer experience was also positive, right? People were moving online largely, and that's where they lived, and that's where they did their work, and that's where they wanted to consume service. And so not only was it more effective and efficient for government, it was more effective to the customer and user. And so, you know, experience, this whole experience question is more mature in the UK as a result than in other parts of the world. And it's one of the things we bring to the US and Australia and other parts of the world is taking the best practices, some of the capabilities that, you know, were designed in the UK and try to bring them to other parts of the world. And so it's been kind of part of our role. One of the things the UK has done incredibly well is early on, they decided to more centralize the experience with the customers, so around customer service. So in other parts of the world, US, we kind of, off the list is very department centric. You know, I know there's still some of that in the UK, but there's largely not, for the most part, a central customer service center for local governments in the US. Some have moved into that direction. But in the UK, you know, there are folks that are primarily responsible for, you know, singularly making sure that the customer experience is good and that there are measurements around that customer experience. When there's calls into the call center or folks coming in through email or for the web, that they're getting where they need to be and that there's a measurement system as to whether they're getting the services that they require. That I love as a model. And it's not typical around the world because it's much more decentralized in other parts of the world. So the extent that you give ownership to the customer service question, I think, you know, it allows you to make investments.
Does this mean that Karen and I have to tour the US and our other regions more often to share the UK experience?
Where are you headed with this, John?
Finally, and it's a bit of a lighthearted question, Mark. When in the UK, what's your favorite place to visit and your favorite food to eat?
Well, I have had the good fortune of living in Europe. So myself and my family lived in Luxembourg for some time. And one of our favorite places to come was London. So easy trips. We come here relatively frequently. And it may be relatively standard, but we would love to come and go to the theater district. It's one of our favorite things to do as a family. And we walk around London. We're big walkers, so we just love walkability. So we walk around London and see as much as we can. We end up with a show and then we like a curry after the show. So it's kind of one of our things.
Thank you, everyone. Until next time.